This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, as our listeners to the Paracast know, on last week's episode, we had a last-minute fill-in guest, who actually was quite a good guest, Robert Schroeder, who came up with an intriguing idea, not his original idea, but certainly something he had looked into, that may explain how one can achieve interstellar travel from star to star. And he went into this elaborate thing where traveling several light years to Proxima Centauri would involve a trip that would be physically 25 miles. Now, strangely enough here, which kind of surprised me, and Randall, you can give me your comments briefly before we get to our guest, Rick Doty, in a moment here. Some listeners felt I was being very rude to Robert, who's such a sweet guy. And what's your impression? You think I was unduly rude because maybe I didn't completely agree with him?
No, I thought that we were just exploring the topic. And actually, I think I received a follow-up email from Robert, who was really quite happy to have been on the show. So I think we did really good there to satisfy kind of both sides of the equation.
I kind of wonder. I saw some posts on YouTube about it. And this is the first time that a show that seems so civil seemed to strike some people as out of the rails. In fact, a couple of listeners, or actually one listener, in our forum said the same thing. I was interrupting him. I was being rude to him. And I've disagreed with people before in a far more vociferous manner and never heard such a thing. Chris, did you hear the show at all?
You know, I did. And then I also remember his inaugural appearance on the show, where I thought that we actually were a little bit more strident with him the first time he came around, and he seemed quite willing to come on back and do a second round. So I think that indicates our good intentions and the fact that we are professional here at the Paracast, and I think this week's guest, Richard Doty, will leave the show with that same impression. We're going to ask hard questions, but we do so with respect and with the understanding that we're just trying to get to the bottom of various issues that are of interest to the host of the show and, of course, our listening public.
The thing to mention with Robert is that he loved being on the show. He liked it so much he came back on After the Paracast, and we were joined by Greg Bishop. And he doesn't have a problem mixing it up or disagreeing with people. That's not something that should indicate hate. He enjoyed it. He's really, really had a good time, and we did too. He's a nice guy. Yeah. I mean, if I had a chance to have a dinner with some people who listen to the show, I'd include him. Why the heck not? Just because maybe we have a few disagreements. If you did that, you'd never have dinner with anybody.
Right. Also, Artie Six Killer Clark, I think, was another example. People felt that I was very rude and short with her. And after the show, she said that she had never had such a good time on a show and that this was her favorite show to do. So, you know, it's all in the ear of the beholder, I guess, or something.
Rick Doty, I've heard about you for a long, long time, since the 1980s. But you have a background, which I gather here is strictly in the military. It says here you were born in New York State. Whereabouts?
Barton, B-A-R-T-O-N, Barton, New York. It's east of Elmira, New York,
okay,
in the southern tier area.
My goodness, I'm right there as we speak. I'm in Chemung.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right around the corner from where I was born.
Yeah. Coincidence. In very interesting coincidence.
So entering the Air Force, was this part of the family ties? Were your parents in the Air Force?
My father was.
Uh-huh.
My father was in the Air Force.
It says here from your bio that you specialized, I guess, in intelligence. How so? Why?
Okay. In 1978, I joined Air Force Office of Special Investigations. I went to an intelligence school in Washington, D.C. I was trained in counterintelligence, counterespionage. And then I was sent to my first assignment was Kirtland Air Force Base with Air Force OSI District 17. And that was in 1978. And while I was assigned to Kirtland, an incident happened whereby at Kirtland there was a classified, at that time classified, a weapon storage area called Manzano Base. It stored nuclear weapons. And some security personnel guarding that site observed a strange object hovering around the storage area. And then later on that same night, or actually early the next morning, a security guard for Sandia National Laboratories, which has their main manufacturing facility is on Kirtland Air Force Base. This security guard observed a flying, he referred to it as a flying saucer in the canyon area, which landed and created some problems for that area. And I was assigned to investigate that incident. But prior to investigating it, I had to be briefed into a special program. And that special program involved the U.S. government's investigation and contacts with UFOs, investigating UFOs since the late 40s. And so I was sent to an Air Force Special Security Office on the base, and an officer there, a colonel, a full-blown colonel, briefed me into the program. And that's how I became involved in this subject.
Which colonel was that?
I don't know that I want to mention his name. He's still alive and he's still around. But he was part of the Air Force Special Security Office, which grants security clearances for special category access.
Now, speaking of colonels, one of our regular listeners, Curtis Collins, sent me a note asking if you were acquainted at all with a Colonel Weaver and a Colonel Hennessy.
Yes.
Okay, how...
Yes, Colonel Weaver. Please. Colonel Weaver was somebody who was also assigned to this special program, and Colonel Hennessy was the overall commander of a special projects special projects branch of the Air Force OSI.
Now, the question I would have here is, prior to getting hooked into this thing because of that sighting, had you at all paid any attention to UFOs?
No. I had nothing to do, never had any interest in them. I had a brother who was a 2 years older than me. He was the UFO buff in the family. He would read all the UFO True magazines and read, I think, the first or second book that George Adamski had written, but I was never interested in it.
Having been exposed to this, was it a matter of doing the work, or did you find yourself being, shall we say, sucked in?
Oh, no, I wasn't sucked in. That was my job. I was a special agent with the Air Force Office of Special Investigations, and I had duties to perform, and this was one of the duties I had to perform. I was given this case by my supervisor, and at that time my supervisor was John Brisboy. He was my supervisor at Kirtland. He gave me the assignment, and I investigated it. And carried out my duties.
We've got a lot more to come with Rick Doty, starting with his early years working as an Air Force officer and becoming acquainted with the UFO phenomenon. We've got a lot more to come and a lot of listener questions, as you might expect, with Gene, Chris, and J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. Or call 253-678-1361. For hot and cold therapy, sunny-bay.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
From his palatial estate in upstate New York, or the state of confusion in upstate New York, you know, he likes that. I have a friend who I give the same introduction, palatial estate, and he lives in this lovely converted barn near Stratford-on-Avon in the UK. And I think we'd all like to just leave our homes and maybe occupy one of his spare rooms.
I think drafty, dusty old barn house might even be more appropriate, but I digress. I have a question, though, Gene, for our guest. First of all, Rick, you have quite a reputation over the years. There's been a lot of people that have been talking about you, and you've been a particularly hard person to pin down by shows like the Paracast. How many radio shows have you actually done where you've talked about your past with AFOSI and some of the projects that you're involved with?
I did the Art Bell show once.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that was in the late 90s, and I did the Coast to Coast with George Norrie once, and I've done maybe one or two others.
Okay. Why have you agreed to come on our show? I know we're persistent, and we've made quite a number of requests over the years to try to get you on the show, but why did you agree to come on the show to begin with?
Well, I'd like to set the story straight, so to speak. I've been criticized and sometimes humiliated online about what I did or what I didn't do or what I could have done over the years during my career. I was labeled as a disinformation officer for the Air Force, and none of that's true. I did my job. My job was to investigate counterintelligence, counterespionage operations or incidents, and that's exactly what I did. I did it, and I was rewarded for it. I got rewards for it within the intelligence community, and I was allowed to leave and carry on another career after that. So I just want to set the story straight.
Let me ask you a quick question before Chris follows up, looking at UFOs. Now, over the years, we've gotten the impression here, at least it's claimed, that the Air Force, that the military, hasn't taken UFOs all that seriously, except perhaps for Project Blue Book. And even this most recent project we heard about, the Pentagon UFO study, so-called, they gave up on it when they could. So watching what was going on and the work you were doing, didn't you get the impression that the people that you were working with really, really were seriously interested in this?
Well, I knew they were. I was briefed into a program. I was showed highly classified information about the Roswell incident, about some other incidents. I had access to other investigations or other incidents that had happened around the United States and some overseas. The Air Force had an active program to investigate any UFO incidents that happened on an Air Force base, near an Air Force base, or involving Air Force resources. And that means airplanes or any other type of resources. They had that, and they still have it today. I know they do, because I have friends that are still in the intelligence community.
They'd be crazy not to.
Exactly. I mean, anybody with any common sense, stop and think about it. There's things that happen out there, and I agree that Project Blue Book, most of those cases in Project Blue Book could be readily answered by something else. I mean, by a natural known phenomenon. But there were approximately 1,900 of them that involved extraterrestrial crafts. I read the report. It was classified. It's one of the derivatives of the Blue Book investigation, but it's never been declassified, so it's still there. But they can categorically say, yes, these 1,900 and whatever they were extraterrestrial crafts.
Well, in light of that, and one of your first investigations being a landed unidentified craft near one of the largest underground storage facilities of nuclear materials in the world on a classified area of an Air Force base, I would think that would be a bit of a priority for the Air Force to want to investigate. You mentioned that you've seen classified information at the time relating to this phenomenon. How much can you talk about Roswell? How much can you talk about some of the more celebrated cases, let's say Malmstrom 78? I'm sure when you were there at Kirtland, you were hearing about UFOs showing up around some of the missile silos outside of in Cascade County up in Montana, for instance, around Malmstrom Air Force Base. I mean, how much can you discuss about these particular incidences and case files that were opened as a result of these incursions into airspace, restricted airspace? How much can we talk about that with you?
You can ask me any question you want. I can 90% of it I would discuss. There's probably some that I personally consider that maybe too sensitive to discuss, but the Air Force has blown this out of proportion over these years. When I filed a lawsuit some years ago against somebody, the Air Force initially wanted to back me, and then they turned their back on me. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to tell it like it is. And if they want to come after me, let them come after me. And I've been talking about it for probably the last 10 or 12 years. And I got out of what left the Air Force, and I left the service of the OSI in 1988. And although they called me back to active duty in 1993, but it didn't have anything to do with UFOs. It had something to do with something else I had worked on. But I talked to General Richard B.A., who was the general in charge of OSI. Okay. And so all this stuff will eventually come out. And so I decided, what the hell? I'm gonna go ahead and talk about it.
That's absolutely terrific.
The Roswell incident, and I've talked about this before on air. The Roswell incident, I was briefed on the Roswell incident. I saw the actual film that was created by the Air Force. The Roswell incident, there's very few people that actually got it right. But the Roswell incident, there was the way it was investigated by the Air Force, what it was determined, it wasn't just the Air Force involved in this, Los Alamos National Laboratories and other agencies. But in 1947, two extraterrestrial aircraft flying around New Mexico, there was a huge electrical storm. Somehow the two crafts crashed, it collided in air. One landed southeast of Corona, New Mexico, thus being the Roswell crash site, and one landed over near Magdalena, west of Magdalena in Horse Mesa.
Well, it looks like here we're going to certainly hear a very, very different slant on the Roswell case, so we're all going to be interested in what Rick has to say. So let's do the break now, but let me remind you first that we have the Paracast Plus waiting for you to join it. We offer a version of this show that's free of the network ads. We offer the After the Paracast podcast and other goodies. So check it out. Go to plus.theparacast.com. Once again, that's plus.theparacast.com. We got more to come with Gene, Chris, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you, too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
Hey, folks. Tom D. for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word George and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter. And if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
By the way, if you hear Chris's keyboard going full steam, he's got the noisiest keyboard on the planet. I gave it to him.
Sorry, I had, for some reason, my setting went to the internal mic on the computer. I'm sorry about that. I've gone ahead and made the change.
Go ahead. Let's continue. Rick Doty telling us about the Roswell crash, which turns out to be two crashes. So we're both recovered then, right, Rick?
Yes, one crash site involved two locations. One, the actual craft was located some distance from that crash, which was a debris field, a large debris field. And that debris field was found initially by the rancher, and later on the military found the actual craft with one alien still alive. They recovered it. They sent it to Los Alamos. I don't know the full story about the ET that they found. There wasn't a whole lot in the briefing about that, other than he died in 1952. The second crash site in Horse Mesa, very remote area, was found in 1949 by some ranchers. Now, the craft was there pretty much intact, and all the six extraterrestrials, the creatures, were all thrown from the craft, but they were all highly decayed, and their bodies there wasn't much left of their bodies. But that site was examined by the Air Force, all the debris, and everything was sent to Los Alamos and later on to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
And where was that?
It was actually Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio.
No, where was the crash site?
It was in Horse Mesa. If you look on the map, a New Mexico map, and you find Magdalena, and you go southwest of Magdalena, you'll find a place called Horse Mesa. And up just above that is where the site, where the crash site was located by a couple of ranchers. I believe they were relocating cattle.
So when you say you were briefed about this, are you talking about you just looking at some documentation, or did they present you with a film or a slideshow? Did you see pictures? What sort of evidence of this did you get?
Oh, no, it was a full briefing. And I wasn't the only one in the room. There were a number of other people in the room that I believe at the time I was briefed, there were at least 10, 12, and maybe one or two more. No, they have an actual briefing film It's a film that was probably created, I don't know, 5 or 6 years prior to me seeing it in 1978, and then it had been updated. But the film, the briefing film, contained old footage of the recovery operation in New Mexico and in both locations in New Mexico. And then the colonel that was given this briefing would reiterate on certain aspects of what the United States government was doing or had done since then. The briefing film only contained how the United States became involved in this subject. And it started in 1948. There was never any mention about anything prior to 1947, the Roswell incident. It was never anything ever mentioned in this briefing film.
So you saw films of the actual craft and the recovery? Is that what you're saying? Can you confirm that?
Yes. It was the old film. It was old footage of the actual recovery operation in Roswell or in both locations in New Mexico, showing the craft, showing the alien bodies. And there was one small segment, probably 10 or 15, that showed the live creature. But they just briefly mentioned it, that the creature was transported to a facility, and they didn't mention a whole lot about that during that film. But the briefing film was, like I said, was a narrative of everything the United States had done from 47 on, and mentioned several different crash sites, that Roswell and one in Aztec, New Mexico, and one in Nevada.
All right, you mentioned Aztec. Is this the one in 1948 that's so controversial?
Well, actually, it wasn't 48. I believe it was 51. I don't recall the exact date of that, but it was after. It was at least a couple of years after.
Okay, so this is not the one that Frank Scully wrote about in this very controversial book and has been a subject of controversy. This is a totally different episode in Aztec. I take it then, from what you're telling me, we can get into more of the logistics and such, that these captured spaceships are still being held somewhere, right, Patterson, or somewhere else?
No, they're out in Nevada. They're out at the Air Force test and evaluation site, which is everybody calls Area 51. At least the last time I knew they were. I can't speak for now, right today, but the last time I knew, they were out there.
Is there any truth to Lazar's claims then, you think?
Yeah, another part of what I did was I actually worked out in Area 51 1984. I went temporary duty out there to conduct some investigations. And so I had access to that location. Now, I don't know. I mean, I never saw Lazar, and I read what he said. And he describes S2 pretty clearly. I mean, either somebody told him all this, or he was actually there, because he describes the location very accurate.
Okay, so when you were out there, then that might be on the operation that you alluded to in another interview, where you were talking about Janet Airlines and. You were dealing with, you alluded to an airline company that was shuttling people back and forth out there. Okay. Cool.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was there, I don't know how many times. I spent probably 4 months the first time, and then I don't know how many other times, but over a period of about 18 months, I think I probably was there 6 or 7 times. So I was briefed in. I had the access for most of the locations in that area. Not everything. I mean, everybody doesn't get access to everything. So there was probably a lot of things that were going on there that I didn't see or didn't have access to.
In connection with your work, what exactly were you doing and why do you think you were brought into this program?
Well, I was brought into the program to investigate the incidents of UFOs, sightings or incidents involving extraterrestrial contacts on or near an Air Force installation involving Air Force property or personnel. I mean, I wasn't the only one. There was 122 other, 121, but there was 122 of us, OSI agents that were briefed into the program that were conducting investigations worldwide during the 70s and 80s.
This is quite extraordinary because we know that the overflow from Blue Book went to the OSI, but up until now, it's anything we've heard about it is it was just kind of an underfunded office where they really didn't want the responsibility and pretty much just filed things away, never to be seen again. But you're saying that they had a dedicated program here as part of Special Projects OSI with over 100 people involved? I mean, that dwarfs Blue Book.
Yes,
this is worldwide. Let me clarify something. 122 OSI agents, that doesn't count the support people that were involved, the secretaries or the analysts or the some linguists involved. And I don't know the total number, but I'd say probably with all the support personnel, it would be at least 200.
So when you got a sighting then, I mean, would they give you access to a jet and you'd fly out to, you know, a location to investigate, or how did it actually go down?
Let's do our break and we'll continue with that with Randall, Gene, and Chris. You're in.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you retired or facing retirement and you're afraid your income is going to be less than you'd like? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and I want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business working around your current schedule, creating extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of The Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said, "Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?" And I said, "Sure, Ryan," and in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Rick Doty telling us here about his work for the Air Force and his exposure to evidence about Roswell. You want to continue with that question, Randall?
Yeah, sure. So before the break, I was asking, okay, so you guys get the reports in from a various base. Then what would happen? Would you would they assign you a pilot in an airplane and you'd head out to the base and interview people? Or how exactly, what was your procedure there?
Well, it depends on who. We had areas to cover. Mine was the southwest. I covered New Mexico, Nevada, and Arizona, southwestern portion of Colorado. I went to Utah on a special assignment involving something to that effect. But if something occurred, myself and another agent, there would be always two agents, maybe even more. We would get a flight. Probably most of the time we flew just commercial. I mean, it wasn't an emergency. It was, we'd get a commercial flight and we'd fly to that location and rent a car and go out and invest.
And did you present yourselves pretty casually, or were you sort of more the MIB types? Did you show up in black suits and white shirts? Or how exactly did you present yourself?
Well, first of all, Air Force-sized special agents, we weren't military. We were civilians, so we didn't wear uniforms. We wore civilian clothes, and we would just wear casual civilian clothes or a suit. I've been asked this question a thousand times. I'd never owned a black suit, so I didn't wear a black suit. I was never used to being a man in black.
You were the three men in khaki, right?
Yeah, three men in khaki, right.
Right, no fedoras, no wraparound black sunglasses, nothing, you know, skinny black ties, late model 50s Cadillacs, that sort of thing.
No, nothing like that. Not me. That must have been the other secret people. That must have been the CIA guys.
Speaking of which, I want to ask you about that, since you're involved in intelligence work when you were with the Air Force. Did you encounter, to be blunt, other spooks from other agencies?
Yes. Yes, I did. Actually, we had a confrontation once between the OSI and the NSA, and that was involving the Benowitz.
We're going to get into that, but Rick, I must say this is fascinating. These are revelations, if true, that I think very, very few people are aware of, the extent and the width and breadth of interest by the official interest by the Air Force into these types of claims by witnesses and, you know, seeing actual film of crashes, film of bodies. These are highly sensational claims that you're making here. I have a question here from one of our listeners without limits. He's wondering, based on all your, you know, 10 years of active duty and your investigations, and I want you to tell me how many approximately you actually went out on in 10 years, but Where do you come down on the reality of UFOs? It sounds like this is a slam dunk yes. We are being visited by beings from somewhere else, and there's no question about their reality. Is this so? And if so, do you have any indication of knowledge of where these craft and beings are coming from?
Oh, I'm thoroughly convinced we've been visited, at least from, the Air Force acknowledges that we've been visited at least from 1947 on. I can't speak for anything that occurred before that because I was never briefed into that. I've heard of rumors and stuff, but I don't talk about rumors. I only talk about what I know, and what I know is fact, and what I saw or what I developed myself. And so, yes, we have been. And, I've said this before, and others have said it. We've been visited by probably more than one extraterrestrial race. I think one of the better researchers that has done her job, so to speak, was Linda Moulton Howell. That's something I'm sure you're going to ask me about, the incident involving Linda and what we did to investigate her and what she had done and what she was trying to do. But she had, during the time that I knew and had contact with Linda Moulton Howell, she had so many sources within the intelligence community that the government was scared, that she was actually getting people within the intelligence community, the CIA, DIA, NSA, OSI, to tell her things that she should know. As far as visiting, I think if you took this to court and presented this case to court about whether we had been visited, I think any jury would reach a verdict in a matter of a few minutes after listening to all the evidence.
Now, when you say the government was nervous about Linda Moulton Howe as a journalist knowing too much, there's been some suggestion about other journalists in the past, such as Dorothy Kilgallen, and being involved with Kennedy and so on. Did you ever hear any rumors, or do you have any insider information that can link up some of the misfortune that they incurred in connection with any of this stuff?
Only what I've read in open sources. I mean, I don't have any particular inside story about her or anyone else. I stay away from that. I'm going to tell you what I know, what I saw, and what I did. And I don't speculate on what other people have done or what other people might know or something, but, we can't answer that question.
Let me ask you a specific question though, back to Roswell. Now we've had the Roswell spaceships on ice or over now in Area 51 plus where they were before for decades. Have we learned anything about them? Have we been able to decode or reverse engineer alien technology? And of course, we all remember that book, The Day After Roswell, written by Colonel Corso and, of course, Bill Burns, that claimed that we did, although some people regard the specific inventions mentioned as being questionable. Are you aware of anything being reverse engineered, any technology that would not have existed or would not have been perfected were it not for the presence of an alien craft?
No, I was. I'm not a scientist. I was never briefed into any kind of scientific program or R&D program, so I can't answer that question. I'm not sure whether we have. I've read about whether we have or not. Me personally, I don't know.
On another show, you were quoted as saying that the Cash Landrum operation was a total failure. So it sounds like you've had some involvement with that. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, the Cash Landrum case was, in fact, a reverse-engineered craft. It was a extraterrestrial craft using a propulsion system that the U.S. government created or manufactured, and it was an flying operation from one base to another base, and something went wrong, and it spurred out some radiation and affected those people on the ground. Now, that's what I know about it. I mean, I don't know technically how it was engineered or reverse engineered or which craft that they reverse engineered, or whether it was the Roswell craft or the, LASTAC or whatever other craft that they recovered. But I know by reading a report
in maybe a year or two later, a couple of years later, probably 82 or 83, that specifically mentioned that the craft had experienced some major malfunctions.
So that's what you meant by it was a failure, not that the like that there was some subterfuge involved in influencing the witnesses or anything, but the actual operation to move the craft went awry.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Good. Gotcha. Thanks for sharing that. I'm sure that'll be found to be very interesting by one of our forum participants.
Randall, good question. And, you know, speaking about foreign participants, did you ever work overseas, Rick, with other counterintelligence agencies from other countries? For instance, in England, you have the Rendlesham case. Did you dovetail, or did AFOSI dovetail their efforts, or were they called in by other countries to assist in retrievals or incidences that needed some real expert attention?
I was stationed in Germany at Air Force OSI headquarters, Europe. During that time period, my main job wasn't to investigate UFOs. It was counterespionage. During that time period in the 80s, we were fighting the Soviets behind, back in the bushes, so to speak.
Right.
But I did have occasion to work with the German and the Swiss intelligence service on a couple cases. And in Switzerland, we went down to interview Billy Meir, and with the Swiss asked us to come in, myself and two other, one other agent and a scientist, an Air Force scientist.
Let me do the break here, guys, and then we'll continue. More with Rick Doty and Gene and Chris and Randall. You're in
the podcast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Tired of being censored by Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Patreon? Well, now you don't have to be. OneWay.com is the free speech and human-friendly social network built just for you. Stop feeding the beast. Every post you make on those evil, anti-human, anti-American perverted sites helps them destroy our families, our country, and our souls. Join OneWay today and take back your liberty. Your free speech alternative is waiting for you at OneWay.com. OneWay.com.